Everybody doing good today?
Yes, sir.
Good, good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us into the mind of God so that we can understand and know the thought that God has been thinking towards us. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for every student that is here in Darrell and those that are watching by internet. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and his vision for this training center, Father. May we accomplish everything that you have assigned for him to accomplish through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we were together, we were on chapter 8. And we were on number 3. I never did finish number 3. We got kind of sidetracked, so that's why I'll pick up tonight. We were talking about identifying those who would join us in covenant. If you go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And I'll read the 1-3 again, but we're going to be starting off and really going to be focusing on verse 3 tonight. It says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in a time past, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people." Verse 3. "Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel." Tonight's point that we're going to start off with is there needs to be an appreciation to taking the relationship to the next level. That's what we talked about last week. That's what we finished. We begin to talk about how important the words of our leaders should be. And I gave you the illustration of how God, I said it last week, this was amazing to me. And Joshua, the first chapter, you see God is talking to Joshua and telling Joshua, do everything Moses said. Now, I know that's amazing to you, but it's amazing to me that here it is. I'm face to face with God. I'm face to face with the Creator, who can easily give me the answers to all of life. And he tells me to pay attention to the person that I was following. Don't turn from the left or to the right. But verse 8, "Meditate day and night that thou observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way successful and thou shalt have good success." And I alluded to tell you that chapter 6 of Joshua, in which Joshua was facing the walls of Jericho, and the very first thing God told him to do, listen to me, internet, the very first thing God told Joshua to do was see, I've given you Jericho. If Joshua had not been meditating what Moses said, or trying to go get a word from God on his own, y'all hearing me? Because this is important. Because when God gave Joshua those instructions to meditate what Moses had said, this book of the law that came out of Moses' mouth, that was God's word to Joshua. So he didn't have to go look any further. See, this is why we have to get rid of this ego and pride and realize that no matter how much we study, no matter how much we pray, no matter how much time we spend with God, God is not going to bypass his divine order. Listen to me, internet. God is not going to bypass his divine order. So if Joshua had not meditated the words of Moses, he would have never been able to see that God had given them Jericho. If he had not been able to see that God had given them Jericho, then he would not have had the capacity to receive the instructions on how to get Jericho. Are y'all seeing this? There are a lot of destinies that in our lives we will not reach until we learn to trust our God-appointed leaders and meditate what they're saying from God. It is a waste of time. Listen at me. Talking about taking a relationship to the next level, not becoming casual with our leaders, not just saying, oh, that's my pastor, or I'm just going to go to church this Sunday, or I'm going to church this Wednesday or Tuesday, or whenever you have Bible study, Monday night, whatever it may be. I'm not just going to church tonight. I am going because we as a family are gathering together so that God can speak to us. And it's just going to happen, so happen to be that on this Sunday morning, God is going to speak to me through my pastor, through my leader, whoever. And if it's a guest, if it's an assistant, I have the same mentality because they have been commissioned through divine order by the pastor to minister. So they're going to speak to us about what God is saying. And it's a waste of time for us. Listen to that, internet. It's a waste of time for us to get up on a Sunday morning, one of the few mornings we don't have to work, to get up on a Sunday morning and come to church as a mere duty and not take hold of what's being said. So for that transaction to take place, that means that God is saying something to us at that moment. And a lot of times we don't hear it at that moment, because I promise you. Now, you got to think about this. This is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Joshua went with Moses everywhere he went. Now, he went with Moses everywhere Moses went. Joshua was even one of the ones, the spies that Moses sent into Jericho. Him and Caleb came back with positive report about Jericho, how true it was, how the land is flowing with milk and honey, how we're well able to take it. He was all in the mix, but he still had to meditate what Moses was saying in order to receive the instructions on how to get Jericho. Are you seeing this? So it didn't matter how much in the presence of God that Joshua was, because if he was with Moses, he had to be in the presence of God. Am I right? So that didn't matter. God said, I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how many times you come to talk to me. You still going to have to follow the instructions that I've given my servant Moses. Now, I'm going to be with you. Listen to that now. Now, I'm going to be with you like I was with Joshua. I ain't going to leave you, but you still going to have to do what Moses said. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses, but you're going to have to listen to what Moses said. Are y'all getting this? So we have to, listen to that, we have to have a reverence when our leaders are speaking. Because you never know at what moment that God will inspire them to say the very thing we need to hear that will catapult us to the next level in our lives. So many people miss out on going to the next level of their lives because they're so busy trying to be in God's face when God is telling them, this is why I put your leader here. Yeah. See, so sometimes your word from God is not going to come from God directly. Right. And we have to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing this? We cannot remain casual in the relationships with our pastors or spiritual leaders. The problem is most people become familiar with the pastor and, watch this, fail to become inspired by his or her ministry anymore. The next phase in that happening is my season is up here. Y'all know how I feel about that season story, right? That season stuff, right? Y'all know that's one of our pet peeves. When somebody tell me they believe their season is up, don't need to talk to me no more. Don't talk to me no more. Don't even say nothing else to me. Just, I'd rather just go ahead and leave. Don't talk about season being up and all that, because, I mean, that's just tell me you want to leave. Yeah. Then trying to be spiritual about it, you just want to leave. So y'all know how I feel about that. I don't have to go into all that. Watch this. They neutralize the spiritual relationship and no longer honor it in the way of maturity and spirituality. Other words, one of the most powerful stories we see of this happening is with Noah and his sons. Now, mind you, God done spoke to Noah, told Noah how to build an ark, told him it's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. They've never seen rain. God used him all this time. And then after Noah got intoxicated on his own success, and one of his sons went in disrespectfully to him. What happened? He got familiar. He got comfortable seeing the miracles that was happening through Noah's life and figured that he had some ownership in those miracles. I have ownership in that grace. I am on the same level with Noah. Are you seeing this? But he is not. And his whole family was cursed because of it. Listen to this statement. This is a very powerful statement. And I'm going to expound on this a little bit. We must move from membership to sonship. It's a powerful statement. And of course, when I say sonship, I'm also referring daughtership to. We must move from membership to sonship. And that now there's a shift that has to be made to move from membership to sonship. Membership is I belong. Sonship is I am. I do not only belong to Word of Life, I am Word of Life. Other words, I've become one with Word of Life. When you see Word of Life, you see me. I'm no longer a member. I am now a son. And who made the decision? I did. I made the decision. Watch this. I don't really need Apostle Thompson to recognize me as a spiritual son. I don't need him to mention it. I don't even need to recognize it. Because whether he said it or not, you can't get rid of me. See, that's a choice you make. That's a decision that you make. That I choose to move from membership. I just don't want to belong. I want to become. Are you seeing this? You have to make that move from membership to sonship. Now, go to Malachi, the 4th chapter. Let me show you how important it is to move from membership to sonship. Malachi. Four. And six. Verse five. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. We're going to start at verse 5, go to verse 6. These are the last two scriptures in the Old Testament. Now, this is important. Last two scriptures in the Old Testament. After these words were spoken, nobody heard from God for another 400 plus years. God didn't speak to nobody for 400 years after these two words. These are the last recorded words in the Old Testament. Now, this is important because I'm going to show you how important shifting from membership to sonship is. All right, you ready? He said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of this great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Notice what he said. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. For sake of time, we're not going to go there, but Jesus interpreted this for us. Jesus began to explain who John the Baptist was. He said John the Baptist is Elijah the prophet that this scripture was talking about. Now, here's the question. here's the question. If Jesus is referring to John the Baptist as Elijah the prophet that God was sending, John the Baptist did not perform one miracle. If you go through John the Baptist's life, he did not perform not one miracle. So Jesus cannot be referring to the miracle part of Elijah the prophet. How many of you know Elijah the prophet? You know, 1 Kings, we had all these miracles happening in his life. He got Elisha and all. Elijah the prophet, John the Baptist, when Jesus made reference to John the Baptist being in the Elijah the prophet that this scripture was talking about, Jesus was talking about the fathering spirit that was returning to the body of Christ. That accountability that's returning to the body of Christ. Because John the Baptist did not perform one miracle. Elijah's life was full of miracles. So if John the Baptist, far as I know, then if somebody going to be like somebody, they got to have some kind of characteristics of somebody. But Malachi was prophesying and saying that Elijah going to come and the heart of the fathers going to return to the children, the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. So the importance of shifting from membership to sonship has everything to do whether the destiny or the agenda of God will be completed. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I only do what the Father, I see the Father do. I only do what the Father says to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Now, a lot of people are trying to make that. Listen, I'm talking about shifting from membership to sonship. A lot of people try to take that as a universal truth. Oh, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what I see the Father do. No, 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 no. Jesus was giving us, he was letting us in on a personal truth that we should apply in our lives concerning our leaders. Jesus could only do, there was only one person that Jesus could follow. Just one. And it was God himself. Because he could not follow any man on earth to accomplish the assignment that God had sent him to do. Because every other man has sin nature in them. God is the only person who doesn't have a sin nature. So Jesus couldn't mimic anybody else. Are you seeing this? So when we see Jesus saying this, Jesus was talking about himself and giving us a principle to follow. Jesus couldn't die on the cross with a sin nature, because then that means he wouldn't be fulfilling the law. So the only person that Jesus could follow is God himself and stay sinless. Are you seeing this? But because of ego and pride, we want to take that same statement Jesus made and we want to bypass God's divine order. So we want to use that as an excuse to bypass our leadership. Oh, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. We want to make that a universal truth when for Jesus it was a personal truth. If how could God get anything done if we only do what he say and not listen to divine order? How in the world will the children of Israel would have gained Jericho if they, what if one of them would have said, oh, Joshua, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You want to march around these walls 7 times? Man, I only do what God tell me to do. You keep them instructions. I only do what God telling me to do. Come on now. Are you hearing this? See, so moving from membership to sonship means that I'm bringing my trust level up a couple of notches in my leader. If you can't bring, here's a good question. If you can't bring your trust level up a couple of notches with your leader, why are you there? Why? Listen a minute, why are you there? See, because if I'm a move from membership to sonship, I got to be willing to take my leader's word as gospel. Oh, some of y'all guys, y'all think I'm getting sacrilegious now. You think I'm getting sacrilegious? No, I'm not getting sacrilegious. Listen, do you realize that every last one of us got born again, not because of what Jesus said, but by what he did? You got born again because of what Paul said. Paul wrote Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Paul was a man that had a thorn in the flesh. Paul was a man in that seventh chapter said, when I want to do right, I can't do right. When I can't do right, I be wanting to do right. I don't know what to do. What else want to do? This is the man that came back in that 10th chapter and said, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Then he said, thou shalt be saved. That wasn't Jesus said that. That was Paul. So now what if some of y'all don't want to trust Paul? Matter of fact, don't even worry about that. Before we became studious in the word and we realized Paul wrote it, what if you wouldn't have trusted the person who led you to Christ? Because really all they told you was Romans 10, 8, 9, 10. You ain't had no idea who wrote Romans. Are you seeing this? So to move from membership to sonship, listen to me, internet, to move from membership to sonship means that I cannot have my relationship with my spiritual leader I can't let it be casual. I have to decide and I have to have my expectations up to a level that at any moment my man or woman of God can catapult me into the next level of my life by what they say. Are you seeing this? Not only my man or woman of God, but their delegated authority. Was it Naaman that dipped in the River Jordan? It was Naaman, right? Do y'all realize that it was Gehazi that gave him the instructions? It wasn't Elisha. It was Gehazi that gave him those instructions. Now, what if he tried it? He said, what is it that he don't meet me with himself? Did he go tell me go dip in the most filthy river they got around here? Does he not know who I am? We must not allow, even if you have to make some adjustments in your heart tonight towards your leader. You ain't getting revelation from your leaders because you chose not to get revelation from them. Not because they ain't putting it out. The Bible says Jesus went into his hometown and could do no mighty works. Now, wait a minute. I'm confused about something. How do people try to blame Jesus for people not getting healed in his hometown when people getting healed everywhere else? What's the common denominator? Jesus is the same. The power the same. So it has to be the casual level of the relationship or the receptivity of those people. So if you feel that you're not getting revelation from your leader, listen to me, internet, it's not because your leader is not putting it out. It's because you have allowed yourself to become familiar with your leader. Once you become familiar with anybody, you begin to take for granted who they are. Let's bring this down a level. That's even in your relationship with friends. I've had friends that take me for granted. How I think they take me for granted. I have friends, we're going to meet someplace at a certain time. They chose to show up when they get ready. We ain't playing this. No, if we say we're going to be there at a certain time, you can at least call me and tell me you're going to be late. Because now they're taking you for granted. Are you seeing this? You can always spot somebody that begins to take your leader, some of your co-laborers. You can always tell when they begin to take the leader for granted, or they become familiar, because they become laxed in their discipleship. They become laid back in their servanthood. I always say this. If you become uncomfortable by the intensity of somebody's desire to serve the man or woman of God, they're the ones not with the problem. If I ever become uncomfortable with somebody around me wanting to serve Apostle Thompson and it's showing me up, they don't have a problem. I have the problem. Are you seeing this? Moving from membership to sonship. The enemy loves this. The enemy loves to make us become casual in our relationship with our spiritual leaders. Because here's what the enemy does. The enemy loves to point out their weaknesses. The enemy loves to point out where we may differ in our thinking process. Satan may come to you and say, well, if I was, I'd have done it this way. Well, you ain't them. And if God wanted you to do it your way, guess what? You'd have been there in that position to do it your way. How many see this? Only covenant relationships can become the platform for a great life together. If you ain't gonna do this in covenant, it ain't gonna work. Number four, they arose to meet every challenge of the future together. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Go back to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. In other words, David had a challenge to meet. They told David, you're not coming in here. David and all the people that had surrounded him in the first part of that chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, they went in and took the city of David. You must be ready to rise with your spiritual leader to face the challenges that lie ahead. Now, here's the thing. What I want you to understand as a Christian, once you became born again, you were designed to face challenges. All right. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We are the salt, right? That's what he said, right? Salt gives flavor, right? Let's think about it. You put on a pot of beans. And you put the salt in there, the salt has to penetrate to give the dish flavor. Listen to me now. When you became a Christian, you were automatically built to face challenges. If you wasn't built to face challenges, then why would you need power? Why would you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you didn't need power? And why, watch this, why would you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you didn't face any challenges? What's the use in having power if you don't face no challenges? Soon as you got born again, you were created to face challenges. You were designed to face challenges so that challenges can be conquered, can be overrun, so that people can be set free. Are you seeing this? So being designed for challenges don't mean you run away from challenges. See, Christians, we as Christians, sometimes we run away from challenges. Listen, everything is not going to turn out like you want. But you can change anything to what you want. I hope y'all caught that statement. Everything is not going to turn out like you want, but you can change everything into what you want. That means whatever result the system say you ought to have, hint, hint, that's a challenge. You must be able to rise with your spiritual leader to face challenges. If you're not willing to face challenges, if you're not willing to use the power that's been given to you, then what's the use in having the power? Watch this. The pivotal point for accurate connection and covenant is seen when people rise to take on the challenges of the future together. When you do that, that shows you, and then you find out who around you. Now listen to this. This has something to do with shifting from membership to sonship, all right? Many do not connect accurately as they are still struggling with their own personal needs and indulging in their own pursuits. Always coming up with excuses of why they can't help meet the challenge because they got personal issues. Look at Matthew 6, the chapter. We touched on this earlier. Matthew 6 chapter, we touched on this early in the semester, last semester. But I want you to see this now because this is a perfect time to see this. Matthew the 6th chapter is a great time to remind you about this. Let's start at verse 25. Take therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now let me get that straight. That don't mean that you ain't got to figure out what you want to eat. That don't figure out you want to go shopping. That's not what that's saying. It's just saying don't focus on those things. That shouldn't be the highlight of your day. All right. That's all that's saying. It's saying, it ain't saying you can't, because people like you're spiritual. That ain't what they're saying. It's saying this shouldn't be your focus. Watch verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, listen to this, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Which one of you, by taking thought or focusing on your problems, can change it? Let's think about this now, because if I can focus on my problem and change it, why is it still a problem? Why is it still staring me in the face? Why does it not want to move? If me focusing on it gonna cause the change? Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Keep listening. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, I love this, I love this, I love this. For your heavenly Father knoweth or knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but all that's been just eliminated. All that's been eliminated. Seek ye what? First, listen to me. What is it in that? First, the kingdom of God. Let me say it this way. But seek ye first God's agenda and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. And it says, watch this, all these things shall be added unto you. So here it is. People cannot face challenges because they're too busy trying to focus on their own challenges. When the way you resolve your own challenges is when you focus on the challenges that are facing God's agenda. When you focus your attention or your energies on God's agenda, listen to me very carefully. It forces God. That's what I said. It forces God to put his focus on your agenda. So now, I have no excuse as to why I can't be valuable to my spiritual leader. I can't keep making excuses about how I got to do this. Oh, I can't do that because of this. Oh, I can't. You just be coming up all kind of excuses. There's no need for that, because the Bible says as long as I focus on him, he focuses on me. If I face the challenges of God's agenda, then God's going to face the challenges that's trying to stop me. It's almost as if God sets us up for success. When God say, yeah, I know you're dealing with that problem. I know you're dealing with it. I understand you're dealing with it. I know it's a problem, but just come over here and do this for me. Just do this for me. When you do this for me, then I am obligated. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew's 11th chapter. Matthew's 11th chapter. Verse 28, very familiar scripture, but you'll never see it the same after the night. You'll never see it the same. Jesus talking. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that have challenges and you can't overcome them. And these challenges are too great for you to face alone. Need you to come unto me. And what he said he's going to do? Give you rest, right? What's verse 29? Take my challenges upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, when you focus on the challenges that's facing the kingdom, when you rise with your leader to help face those challenges, it's not going to be much worrying you have to do. When you focus on my agenda, you're not going to be stressed out. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to find rest. You're going to find rest for your mind. You're going to find rest for your soul. Listen a minute. You're not going to be stressed out. Because, example, when Joshua had to see Jericho, he wasn't stressing. Oh, Lord, how am I going to get Jericho? I'm facing, Lord, how am I going to get this? How are we going to do this? All God had told him to do was, I need you to see. And God had set him up to see, because of the instructions he gave him in Joshua, the first chapter. So therefore, he just sitting there, Joshua's just moving along, meditating what Moses said, moving along. God is with him, moving along. Okay, we're facing a challenge. Okay, God, you need me to see it? Okay, let me sit here and meditate. Let me imagine us taking Jericho. Then God gave him the instructions on how to take Jericho. That don't seem like stress to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden are light. So if you find yourself stressing, I got all this debt. How am I going to get out of debt? I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to strategize it. Maybe I need to get another job. Or maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. Maybe that. Hold on. Just calm down. Just settle down. Settle down. Begin to meditate the words of your spiritual leader that come from God. And you will begin to get strategies from God on what to do. Why? Because now you're focusing on his agenda. Is that making sense? Many who come to join this house are still licking the wounds of their past and not free in themselves to become available to stand alongside us to finish the assignment. That's people that join the house with their own personal agenda. And because they're so concerned with their own personal agenda, and the reason they came was to resolve issues and their own personal agenda, and they don't realize they're about to get tied up even more. Are you seeing this? Once again, I'm rehearsing myself, but the author is so excellent at pounding this point. We have got to stop coming to church trying to get our word from God. We have got to stop asking God, God, what is your will for my life? It needs to be, God, I'm coming to hear from you. Whatever you want to say. Because everything God says is a good thing. All of God's will is good. So when I go and say, God, what is your will for my life? What you're saying is, God, I'm not really concerned about nothing else you got. I'm only concerned about what I can do to get my issue straight. And so people find themselves, how many times have somebody given you instructions and you went and did those instructions and only to come to find out you get the wrong outcome? Because when you go back to the person who gave you the instructions and you say, well, I did what you told me to do. They say, no, you didn't hear what I said because you heard what you wanted to hear. That's how some of us come to church. So therefore, we walk out and we go to trying to implement or trying to do what God is what we thought we heard. We have skewed hearing because we're hearing God only based on our situation. So therefore, we ain't listening for nothing else. We're only listening for what we can immediately get out of this message to solve our issue. And miss the whole point of God that can turn around not just that one issue, but turn around all your issues. How many see that? So it's just a matter of how we approach the gathering of the family on a Sunday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday. How do we approach the gathering? Am I coming with my spiritual leader to face the challenges of the house, or am I only coming to get my word? Those people that come to only get a word from themselves, watch this, they're not there to give strong support when opportunities and challenges present themselves. They are not in their full strength and capacity to throw in their weight to push back the enemy. Many wonderful opportunities are lost when they withdraw from these challenges into their caves. Because the situation ain't resolved, they cow out. They leave the house. They become frustrated. Watch this. They fail to understand that when we choose covenant, we choose to keep ourselves in the fullness of strength to push for the highest level of performance. That means I am not only concerned about the power of God giving me the power or empowering me to solve my personal issues. God, I want your power to put me in a position to where I can transcend my issues to still do what you're asking me to do. Because when I do what you're asking me to do, when I stay on my spiritual leader, then God, you become obligated to take care of my situations. Number five. This is important. We're closing here. They acknowledge the different dimensions of grace and skill. This is a doozy here. This is a doozy. Because when we talk about the word grace, there are different definitions of grace is used in different formats in the Bible. There is a general grace that empowers us to rise above sin. But then there's a grace that goes along with your calling. Watch this now. You'll never forget this. The general grace to empower you to rise above sin comes from God. All right? But the grace from your calling comes from who you connected to. Your calling comes from God. Oh, yeah, your calling comes from God. But the empowerment to fulfill that call comes from God. I hope you heard me, Internet. That's one of the things that trips us up the most. We get those graces mixed up. There's a general grace that will cause you to rise above, that empowers you to live a holy life, to rise above sin. But then there's a specific grace that will cause you to fulfill the call of God on your life. And that grace comes from who you connected to. Don't believe me? Ask Elisha. Elisha was called by God. How I know Elisha was called by God? Because God told Elijah, go and find Elisha and anoint him to be a prophet in thy house. Who? God didn't say, go find Elisha and anoint him to be a prophet in my house. He told Elijah to go find Elisha and anoint him to be a prophet in thy house. So the grace that Elisha wound up with came from his connection to Elijah. Is that making sense? So we have to understand that there are different graces in the body of Christ. All graces and giftings are not the same. See, this is where the culture of honor really comes into play, because we cannot become intimidated by somebody having a gifting or a grace that we don't have. But if we connect to them, a prime example, I don't need to be an apostle. I don't need to be an apostle. Why do I need to be an apostle when I'm connected to an apostle? So because I'm connected to an apostle, that makes me apostolic. I don't ever have to hear God say, Leroy Junior, I'm calling you to be an apostle. I'm cool with that because I'm connected to an apostle. When I help my apostle, when I rise to the challenge to the challenge of helping my apostle face the things that challenge him, I become apostolic. So it don't take nothing out of my boat to acknowledge the grace that's on his life. Matter of fact, it adds to my boat because I acknowledge the grace that's on his life. Paul told I think it was the Philippians, you are partakers of my grace. He didn't say God's grace. He said you are partakers of my grace. So next week when I ain't get a chance to finish, and I'm gonna try to stop on time tonight. They acknowledge their different dimensions of grace and skills. I want you to read that. I want you to read that section and read that section. And how many more we got? Two more. Read those, because those are very important. Because if you don't get the last two down, it's gonna be hard for you to go any further. Because those are the ones that's hard for people to grasp. When it talks about they acquire the ability to rise to maximum of capacity or potential, meaning you willing to give your gifts up to use for somebody else. They allow the leadership freedom to restructure the team. Can your leader tell you, I don't need you here, I need you here? Or are you going to say, oh, no, God called me here to be on to do this? Are you seeing this? I'll see y'all next week.